I'm Arjo Botsoma. This is KabilBot.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from Mission Street in beautiful San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 28th of August, 2014. On this date in 1521, the Ottoman Turks occupy Belgrade. In 1565, the Spanish found the oldest continually occupied European established city in the United States. That is St. Augustine, Florida. 1879, the British capture Cetshwayo, the last great ruler in Zululand. 1924, the Georgian opposition stages the August Uprising against the Soviet Union. Interesting story. For those who didn't know, it was obviously suppressed for 70 years, so many Georgians don't know the full story. 1941, 23,000 Hungarian Jews are killed by the Nazis at the Kamenz-Polosk in Ukraine. 1955, African-American teenager Emmett Till is murdered in Mississippi, galvanizing the American civil rights movement. 1957, U.S. Senator Strom Thurmond begins a filibuster to prevent the Senate from voting on the Civil Rights Act. He stopped speaking 24 hours and 18 minutes later, longest filibuster ever conducted by a single senator. 1963, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. makes his I Have a Dream speech in front of the largest demonstration that had ever taken place in Washington, D.C., 1968, riots in Chicago at the Democratic Party convention over the Vietnam War platform. 1996, Charles and Diana divorce. 1990, Iraq declares Kuwait to be its newest province. Birthdays are Johann von Goethe, Leo Tolstoy, Robertson Davies, Jack Black, and Leanne Rimes. Today is Maddie Amoba, the celebration of everybody named Mary, Maddie, or Maddiam. So happy Maddie Amoba to Maddie Amebi. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen, my Georgia Journal and Cuties Polisher column. This week is called The Party's Over, about the new residence cards. Last week was about Bitcoin and what it means for Georgia. If you'd like to comment on the podcast or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. Quick note, former U.S. Ambassador John Bass has been designated to become the U.S. Ambassador to Armenia, but has not yet been approved by the Senate. On to the news. Raul Khajimba was elected the fourth president of Abkhazia. He received 50.57% of the votes in the 24th of August presidential election, according to official results released by the Abkhaz CEC. The term is set for 5 years. Khajimba was one of the leading figures behind the protests in May that forced President Alexander Ankvab out of office. He previously ran for the presidency unsuccessfully three times, the most recent time in 2011. Speaking on the 25th of August, Khajimba said that reforming the political system and achieving national unity would be his immediate priorities. In the weeks before the election, the 22,000 Georgians living in eastern Abkhazia were stripped of the right to vote under the accusation that they acquired their Abkhaz passports illegally because they still held Georgian citizenship. Earlier on the 22nd of August, acting de facto president of Abkhazia, Valery Baganba, sent letters to the presidents of Belarus and Kazakhstan requesting that they recognize the sovereignty and independence of the Republic of Abkhazia. The letter said that Suchumi wants to contribute to the integration process within the Russian-led Eurasian Union. Georgian Foreign Ministry condemned what it called illegal presidential election, saying that it represents a total disrespect and neglect of the fundamental principles of international law, in particular of the principle of sovereignty, territorial integrity, and inviolability of internationally recognized borders, something that seems to be very fashionable in the neighborhood these days. The U.S., the EU, and NATO all released statements that they do not recognize the legitimacy of the presidential elections of Abkhazia, as did the foreign ministries of Ukraine and Azerbaijan. Russian President Vladimir Putin congratulated Khajimba on his electoral victory before the Election Commission had released the very, very close results, just so everybody would know who put him there. Kremlin said that it's ready to strengthen friendly relations with Abkhazia. On the 26th of August, Georgian Dream Member of Parliament Tiniko Khidasheli said at a press conference that we, quote, we are ready to talk to anyone who holds the position of de facto leader of Abkhazia at this moment. Discussion and dialogue has no alternative. Likewise, Georgia State Minister for Reconciliation and Civic Equality, Panta Zakharashvili, said that, quote, we are willing to conduct negotiations and cooperate with the leader of the Abkhazian, society elects, end quote. On the 27th of August, Khajimba met with President Putin, that was quick, at his Novo Ogaryovo state residence outside of Moscow. They discussed signing the new comprehensive cooperation treaty between Moscow and Suchumi by the end of the year. According to the Kremlin, the treaty will, qualitatively increase integration between Russia and Abkhazia, the Kremlin said. They also discussed increasing Russian financial aid and attracting major Russian investment to Abkhazia. Another major landslide struck the Dariali Valley on the 21st of August. Two people were missing, construction workers in Dariali Hydro Station power plant near Devdoraki Glacier. One is a Turkish citizen, the other Georgian. One of the bodies was pulled from the Tergi River on the Russian side of the border the next day, the 22nd of August. The second body was found on the 27th. Dariali Road was temporarily closed. The Larsi border crossing on the Georgian side was flooded with mud, while the Russian side authorities reported a massive traffic jam of vehicles waiting to go to Georgia, Armenia, and Azerbaijan. Minister for Regional Development David Shagliashvili said that it will take at least 2 weeks to restore the 2-kilometer-long damaged road. It is the only road that connects Armenia with Russia. The landslide also cut off the gas pipeline going to Armenia from Russia. It was restored on the 23rd. On the 22nd, the Environment Ministry warned that there's danger that the snow may come loose from the Devdoraki Glacier and trigger another landslide in the Dariali Valley. The ministry said that it will place an automated weather station in the area, which will measure rainfall, temperature, and atmospheric pressure, and feed the data to the Environment Agency to provide the public with prior warning if there's another disaster. The finance ministry set up a commission to study the damage done by the landslide. As a reminder, there was a major landslide in the same area in May. Three people were killed, three others missing, mainly construction workers at the hydro plant. Georgian government said that, as in May, the landslide was caused by alternative warned in 2012, the hydropower development along the Tergi River might increase the risk of landslides in the already high-risk area. 2011, the government gave permission to the company JSC Dariali Energy to construct three hydropower stations in Larsi, Dariali, and Kazbegi, all on the Tergi River and its tributaries. Oleg Melnikov, a suspect in the 2006 Girvliani murder case, was offered a plea bargain and will soon be out of jail. A former Interior Ministry official admitted guilt in the case earlier this month. He said he was in a car with other Interior Ministry officials when they first went to the prosecutor's office and then to Misha's palace to devise a plan to blame four ministry employees for the murder and avoid public protest. Melnikov left the country after the parliamentary elections in October 2012, but was detained in Ukraine and extradited to Georgia in September 2013. On the 25th of August, prosecutor Irakli Nadarishvili told journalists that as soon as the court approves the plea agreement, Melnikov's two-year sentence will be replaced with 2 years of corrective service and he will be barred from holding an official post for a year. This is a somewhat troubling trend, having officials get plea bargain deals for making a case against their former colleagues. In this case, in the Girvliani murder case, it was clearly a murder, and everybody knows that. And there was definitely a conspiracy to cover it up, what happened, and to let the people off. In other cases, certainly with the Interior Ministry, there have been credible rumors that some people have gotten off by making up some stories about their former colleagues. Tbilisi Mayor's Office is running a program in coordination with the Patriarchy for socially insecure children to live in monasteries for 1 week and become familiar with monastery life. About 40 children coming from large families are taking part. Is it just me, or is this kind of a nutty thing for the Mayor's Office to be running? Anyway, be interested in any thoughts about that if anybody have any. The national movement demonstrated outside the Ukrainian embassy in Tbilisi on the 23rd of August to express solidarity with Ukraine and mark the 25th anniversary of the Freedom Chain, a human chain spreading across the Baltic states as an anti-Soviet protest. Demonstrators formed a human chain, flew Georgian-Ukrainian flags, and held signs saying Russia equals occupant and not very nice things about Putin. They called on the government to support Ukraine in its fight against Russian military aggression. The national movement proposed to offer rehabilitation programs for Georgia for Ukrainian refugee children. UNM leader Giga Bokeria criticized the government's response to the Ukraine crisis, saying that it limits itself to half-hearted statements as if they support Ukraine but refuse to confront Putin's regime and express political support for our Ukrainian friends. Healthcare Minister Dr. Sergienko arrived in Ukraine on the 27th for a needs assessment mission to determine what kind of humanitarian assistance to provide to Ukraine. Sergienko spoke by phone with his Ukrainian counterpart last week and announced on the 25th of August that Tbilisi is ready to send doctors, provide medicine, or bring Ukrainian patients wounded during the military hostilities to Georgia for medical treatment. During a government meeting on the 26th of August, Prime Minister Khvatabashvili assigned the government to help Ukraine as much as possible. Three Georgians were detained by Russian soldiers in the village near South Ossetia on the 22nd of August. According to the First Channel, Russians detained father and son Avtandil and Shota Atskaranashvili, and later also Ilya Kudakushvili, all from Akhaltsopeli. They were taken away while collecting barley in the village of Kurvaleti. Locals say the Russian soldiers were observing the area where people were collecting harvest for several days. A witness who saw the soldiers take away the father and son said the two were on Georgian-controlled territory, but are accused of illegally crossing the border. Detainees were brought to the detention facility in Skhinvali. The Georgian government is working together with the EUMM to bring back the detained people from Skhinvali. Following up on last week's story on claims that UNM's Dato Bakradze has major undeclared assets, the prosecutor's office has launched an inquiry to investigate the allegations that he concealed 262,000 pounds in a London HSBC bank account and did not include it in the 2014 asset declaration of public officials. Bakradze explained in a written statement that the money came from the sale of his father-in-law's house in Tbilisi Kurtsanisi district in 2002. Bakradze said he believes his political opponents published the confidential private information for the purpose of revenge and that the government practiced illegal surveillance. Locals demonstrated on Friday, the 22nd of August, in the village of Khaisi in the northern part of the country because of strict rules introduced by the Environment Ministry about cutting down trees for firewood. They blocked the Zugdidi-Mestia highway with their cars in protest. According to villagers, the night before, police searched their house and fined about 20 families for illegally cutting down trees. Some got into physical clashes with the police. Locals demanded the government reduce the fines or offer them an alternative source of income. The head of the Mestia local municipality, Zapiton Giorgioliani, and Member of Parliament Victor Japaridze came to the protest and promised to mediate with the government. An opinion poll collected this month and published by NDI is being widely discussed. Some points, Patriarch Ilya II is rated the most liked person in Georgia with 91%. Second is Defense Minister Irakli Alasania with 60%. After him is Prime Minister Khvatabashvili at 54%. Recently elected Mayor of Tbilisi, Dato Darmania, commented that achieving a high rating is not his ultimate goal. Quote, however, the fact that my rating has gone up after the pre-election period must be evaluated positively, end quote, he said. More below and things to read. About the changing visa laws, which will now begin on the 1st of September, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs published a list of countries that will be able to enter Georgia for 90 days within a 180-day period without a visa. The list has 94 countries, including NATO states, EU member states, neighboring countries. You can see that at mfa.gov.ge. There'll be a long-term visa for foreigners who want to stay longer than the 90-day period for work, entrepreneurial activity, study, or family purposes. The long-term visa is a precondition to receive a residence permit, apparently, after the 1st of September. Foreigners who enter Georgia before the 1st of September have a right to stay in Georgia on the basis of the old rules. Georgia will reinstate visa requirements for citizens of 24 countries, including Iraq and certain Latin American states. Under the new law, those who require visas will no longer be able to get in at the border and will have to obtain at their respective countries' diplomatic missions at the cost and have to obtain it at the respective countries' diplomatic missions at a cost of $50. On Friday, the 22nd of August, there was a fight between two prisoners in prison number 6 in Gardabani. At 1 in the morning, the prisoners' relatives gathered to prison during the day. One of the prisoners was moved and taken to prison number 7, according to Taya Pertaya from the prison ministry. Reports of an attempted riot in the prison are false. Georgia is enforcing strict prevention measures for every person who enters the country from Ebola virus high-risk countries in Africa. To date, 14 people have entered Georgia from the affected countries, most of them from Nigeria. The National Center for Disease Control is strictly monitoring their health condition and will continue to do so for 21 days, the longest incubation period for the virus. Georgian soldier was named the best soldier participating in the ISAF mission in Afghanistan. Private Levan Markbeliani from the Special Mountain Battalion was recognized by the ISAF command for his devotion and successful accomplishment of assigned tasks while serving at Camp Pasab. U.S. Ambassador to Georgia Richard Norlin met with the four Georgian soldiers in Kutaisi on 26th of August. The soldiers were wounded in Afghanistan. Deputy Prime Minister and former football star Kahi Kaladze was invited, and Energy Minister was invited to play in a World Team football charity match comprised of former top players from all over the world. World Team will play against the Kazakh team FC Khaidat in Almaty, Kazakhstan on the 26th of September to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Khaidat. Kaladze accepted to play as a minister. I don't know what that means, as a minister as opposed to as a former soccer player or person, but I don't know. The guy, he'll run around with a gavel or something. The government does not plan to halt the export of Georgian products to Russia, even while the EU imposes sanctions on exporting to Russia over the Ukraine crisis. On the 25th of August, Prime Minister Khadabashvili commented that while the EU issued a recommendation for all major EU exporters to refrain from exporting to Russia, the recommendation was not intended for Georgia. A day earlier on the 24th of August, he stated that we plan to ship more products to Russia when asked whether Russia might put another embargo on Georgian products. According to an investigation published by Turkish newspaper Today's Zaman, an Iran-backed group operating in Turkey is connected to the February 2012 failed bombing attack on a staff member of the Israeli embassy in Tbilisi. According to the findings, several Turkish citizens worked for Tawad Salam, called for the Iran, cells for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, were conducting surveillance in Tbilisi in the months before the attack. Ahead of the NATO summit in Wales in the first week of September, the U.S. reconfirmed its unwavering support for the Georgian aspiration to join NATO. The details of a telephone conversation between Prime Minister Khadabashvili and Vice President Joe Biden were published on the official news site of both the Georgian and government in the White House on the 22nd of August. Biden underscores his support for Georgia's NATO membership aspirations, as well as the U.S. steadfast commitment to Georgia's sovereignty and territorial integrity within its internationally recognized borders. According to public opinion surveys conducted by the independent Moscow-based Levada Center, Abkhazia and South Ossetia are referred to as independent states by 58 and 55% of Russian citizens, respectively. 52% of the respondents believe that Abkhazia should remain an independent state. 22% said that Abkhazia is a part of Russia. 25% said that Abkhazia should join Russia. 9% referred to the republic as part of Georgia. 8% said that it should enter Georgia. As far as South Ossetia is concerned, 51% of respondents said that it should remain as an independent state. 22% referred to South Ossetia as a part of Russia. 24% of those polls said that South Ossetia should join Russia, and 11% described it as Georgia's territory. 8% said that it should join Georgia. Government is running an initiative to give free medicine for prisoners in Georgian jails with hepatitis C. According to Deputy Minister of Corrections Archil Talakvadze, the first group of seven patients to participate in the program tested, they no longer carry the virus. A Georgian-French firm won several awards at the 20th Sarajevo Film Festival. The film Brides by Tinutin Kudrashvili won the Special Jury Prize, and actress Madi Kitia was awarded the Heart of Sarajevo Award for Best Actress. The film shows the daily routine of a woman whose partner is in prison. Georgia will present two films at this year's 71st Venice International Film Festival, which opens on the 27th of August. The president of Georgian French-British-German joint venture features Georgian actors Misha Gomiashvili and Dachi Orvelashvili. It will be the opening film of the Orizonti section of the festival, which is dedicated to showcasing new trends in world cinema. The President is the story of a dictator of an imaginary country in the Caucasus who is forced to escape following a coup and discovers his country while in disguise with his five-year-old grandson. The Orizonti section will also host the 2014 Georgian film Line of Credit by Salome Alexei Meshishvili. The film's protagonist is a woman who lived a comfortable life in the Soviet Union and has difficulty adapting to modern Georgia. There'll be a film made of the famous Caucasus love story, Ali and Nino. It'll be shot in Azerbaijan next year. The film's director, producer, screenwriter, and lead actor were announced at the Cannes 2014 Film Festival. The novel was written in 1937 in Berlin by Kuran Said. It is set in Baku in the last days of the Ottoman Empire. The cost of electricity will drop for Georgian businesses, allegedly, according to the Georgian National Energy and Water Supply Regulatory Commission. The cost of electricity will slightly decrease for higher and low voltages by about 0.7 lari and significantly decrease by 1.25 lari for medium voltage. The current tariffs will be valid until the end of 2015. It's possible that the long-awaited music festival Kazantep will not be held in Georgia again, according to the owner, Nikita Marshanuk. Not enough people attended the festival, and he won't earn back the money spent on hosting the festival in Georgia. Marshanuk also said that the prices of nearby flats as well as food and drink increased up to 8 or 10 times of what the festival attendees were told. At the festival opening, people had to stand 3 hours in line to get entrance tickets. People said the police prohibited them from kissing or smoking weed. People complained that there were too few women there. The Ukrainian girls complained that the Georgian guys were hitting on them all the time. The most likely place it will be held is in Abkhazia. Defense Minister Irakli Alassania is visiting Georgian troops in the Central African Republic, where they're serving as part of the EU military mission amid the civil war in the country. About 140 Georgian soldiers are part of the mission to secure the capital city of Bangui and create the conditions for the delivery of humanitarian aid. Alassania also met CAR Minister of Defense while in the Central African Republic, Alassania did the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, accepting the challenge from NATO Secretary General's Special Representative for the Caucasus and Central Asia. Prime Minister Khadabashvili announced that a new hospital will be built in the village of Ruchi in Samegrelo near the administrative border with Abkhazia. The high-profile hospital will treat both Georgian and Abkhaz citizens. Khadabashvili visited the village on the 25th of August and took part in a small ceremony marking the beginning of the construction of the clinic. President Margvelashvili published his property declaration for the year 2013. He earned 23,500 lari in income from the 1st of January to the 31st of December. The document stated that he owned 120 square meters living space in Tbilisi and several pieces of land in Dusheti, including his 200 square meter house. He also declared his father's apartment in Tbilisi. Western Georgia's Racha region had heavy rain, hail, water torrents, and landslides on the 24th of August at night. Homes, rural roads connecting some villages, and agricultural lands were damaged by the storm. Cleanup work began immediately, and officials from the Ministry of Agriculture came to affected villages and advised locals on how to treat damaged vineyards. Last week, on the 20th of August, explosions in Ukraine's separatist-torn city of Donetsk damaged the Georgian consulate. No one was injured in the shelling. The consulate staff had already left. According to the head of the Georgian National Exam Center, Maya Miminoshvili, 26,000 students passed the university entry exam. 9,000 did not pass. Prime Minister Khadabashvili met with Armenian President Serge Sarkisian in Yerevan on the 22nd of August. They discussed improving neighborhood policy. It is his, I think, neighborly policy, not European neighborhood policy. It is his first visit to neighboring Armenia since taking prime minister's office in 2013. Restoration works are underway for the past 2 months in the ancient village of Mutso in Khevsudeti. The ancient village has 30 medieval fortified dwellings, 4 combat towers overlooking the Mutso Ardoti Gorge. Much of it was in ruins. Prime Minister Khadabashvili visited Mutso on the 27th of August, along with Culture Minister Mikhail Georgadze and the head of the Cultural Heritage Preservation Agency. On the 27th of August, President Margvelashvili presented the mother of the late Otar Guganeshvili with the Medal of Civic Devotion. 21-year-old Guganeshvili was killed while saving a child from a speeding car in Rustavi on the 1st of August. We have 2 memes this week because all everyone is talking about in Georgia is the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge and Kazantep. The first one is a video going around of 2 Russian-speaking girls talking about their disappointment with this year's Kazantep. They say that the police were everywhere. You can't do anything. Things are more expensive than in Moscow. The Georgian guys chase the girls nonstop, and you just can't get rid of them. They ought to have face control. The second meme is a video with more than 4,600 shares on Facebook. 2 guys from Zestaponi are doing the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, except Their buckets are empty because they don't have any running water. The guys nominated the Zestaponi Water Company to do the challenge. Things to read: Story of Foreign Policy, Profiling an IDP Family in Abkhazia Living in San Migrelo, Their Daily Hopes and Dreams. Misha wrote an article for Foreign Policy Magazine called Groundhog Day and Putin the Predator. He says, we know Putin's playbook well in Georgia and Ukraine. Enough with appeasement. The only way to stop them is through military victory. An article by Manana Vardiashvili for IWPR about funding HIV treatments in Georgia. HIV-positive patients currently receive free antiretroviral therapy paid for by the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, but the Global Fund will halt funding to Georgia in 2016. It's not known how these expensive treatments will be financed afterwards. Liz Fuller's caucus's report for Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, where she assesses the pre-election situation in Abkhazia. Prague Post speaks with Georgian Soviet-era dissident Revaz Tsintsadze. He was imprisoned in a psychiatric clinic for 2 years for speaking out against the 1968 Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia. Forbes magazine looks at countries where billionaires have the most control. Former Soviet states top the list, including Georgia. Survey of Public Attitudes in Georgia, published by NDI for the period of August 2014, looks at the church's influence, minorities, employment, European integration, and more. The latest blog post by the CRRC looks at the interaction between emigration, remittances, and language, mainly knowledge of English, in Georgia. Watch a documentary film by EBS volunteers at the Tbilisi's caucus's house called Divided. It looks at the Georgian-Ossetian conflict. All these things to read are posted on the forum. This week's geocapital number is 27. This is the percent of Georgians who think it is important to protect the rights of sexual minorities, according to a public opinion survey released this week by NDI. In the same survey, 63% of Georgians said that they think general protection of minority rights is important for democratic development. For those in London, starting from the 23rd of September, the British Georgian Society will give Georgian language evening classes, and UCL classes will take place on Tuesday, the 7th, at 7 p.m. Sorry about that. For those in London, starting the 23rd of September, the British Georgian Society will give Georgian language evening classes at UCL. Classes will take place on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. for intermediate, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for complete beginners, Thursdays at 7 p.m. for elementary level. It's at UCL in Gower Street in Fitzrovia. It's £5 for a one-hour class, which is a good deal. Further information, talk to Keti Kalandadze at 07-525-43-7850 or email georgianlanguageucl@gmail.com. There's a new Georgian restaurant in New York City, as discussed, Old Tbilisi, located at 174 Bleecker Street. It was just reviewed at New York Eater. They said the Acharuda Khachapuri is fantastic, but it's pretty pricey. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod, that's TBLPOD, at gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1964, The Rivieras and California Sun.
Short and the nights are long, where they walk and I walk, they twist and I'll twist, they shimmy and I'll shimmy, they fly and I'll fly. Well, they're out there having fun in that warm California sun. Well, I'm going out of west out on the coast, where the California girls are really the most. They walk, and I walk, they twist, and I twist, they shimmy, and I
Christian O'Fisco. A pretty little chick wherever you go.